When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Naturally, the moment you take on this job of teaching your art to other people, you've taken on like part of that job, part of the many little jobs that go into the big title of teaching artist is helping students navigate when they're stuck making their art, whatever stuck looks like. And again, I'm going to use comics as an example because that's what I teach. So a student will not know where to go with their story next, whether the page should end on this moment or that moment, whether it should be a big panel or a small panel. I want this moment to look exciting, but I don't feel like I've got a very exciting look to the viewing angle I've chosen. I don't know what to do. Now, a lot of the time when students are stuck, because as I've described in an earlier Thunder Punch Daily, the chasm between our skills is so huge, right? And again, it becomes pretty huge even after just a few years of doing this seriously. Like the difference between when you first started out and when you've been doing this like on a regular basis, practicing for even 3 years, it's a pretty big gap. So the solution to their problem sometimes seems exceedingly obvious to me. But I don't trust that voice. And furthermore, I don't think it's doing the student any service if I just tell them what to do, even if I explain why. Because that kind of, what would you call it? That kind of received learning, I don't think is as powerful as them experiencing the learning for themselves. So what I do in those situations is when we can meet physically, when I can have physical classes, it's a lot easier to do this, is I'll kneel down, I'll have like a private little consultation with them, and I'll say, hey, so what are you trying to do here? What's the goal? What feeling are you trying to evoke? What purpose does this serve in the story? How is this helping you get someplace else in the story? And I'll lead them through a little interview, trying to get them to explore what their options are. Rather than telling them what the solution is, let them arrive at their solution. Now, there's a couple good things that happen out of this. One is that the student gets to like own their own learning. And two is like, oftentimes, as I described yesterday, they'll reveal things in their approaches that I wouldn't have considered. So whatever answer was obvious to me wasn't the right one in that scenario. So what's this got to do with making my art better? Well, many of us, if not all of us, I think it's a safe assumption to say all of us, have experienced moments where we're stuck in our work, right? And when you're stuck in your work, it feels like, the inspiration is gone. But in my experience, at any rate, and I've read the experiences of other artists, and it seems like this is a fairly common thing, is that like that act of inspiration or that moment of inspiration, that's subconscious stuff that like delivers this exciting image to you, only goes so far. And then there's an enormous amount of grinding that has to occur, to borrow a video game term, right? There's a lot of grunt work, spade work, solving little problems, going back and forth with drafts, and it's the part that feels sometimes a little bit less glamorous. It's the part of the process where you get lost in the weeds and you suddenly don't know, is this thing any good anymore? I have no idea. Now, a huge, a huge antidote to that, or at least yeah, I guess antidote would be a good enough word. Something that has a medicinal quality to that moment is peer review. Going to other people that you know, other creative types, and putting the stuff in front of them, saying, "Look at this. Would you tell me how would you react to this? What would you do different?" And that's immensely valuable. But what if you don't have that available at the moment? What if you don't have an extended network of fellow creatives? Well, if you're a teaching artist and you've been walking through this process with these students, you've already developed the ability to self-interview. and ask yourself the same questions you would ask that student. This, by the way, this benefit of being a teaching artist was not obvious to me right away. As a matter of fact, it took a very good friend of mine to say, when I was struggling with a problem with my book, he said, "What would Teacher Jersey say to you right now?" I was like, "Oh my gosh, what a great question. What a great question." Because Teacher Jersey is me, but it's also another presentation of myself that doesn't live in my everyday life. It's kind of a persona. It's kind of a, just like how we act different ways in different groups. My teaching personality is sort of like an enhanced or focused version of myself that doesn't bring in a lot of other stuff. So that's one of the other things you get to look forward to, is in thoughtfully navigating and helping students arrive at their own decisions, you've created a sort of inner peer that can assist you with a little interview when you get stuck and there's nobody else to turn to. And I found that pretty useful to go to Teacher Jersey and ask him for advice. Help me get unstuck and unlocked. So not so much a leveling up my skills as a visual storyteller. Well, it is though, because it's helping me make better creative choices when I'm in that less glamorous grinding part of the process. So, okay, this is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, artsoundoff.com. What is that? Well, that is a yearly challenge that me and my buddy Rob Stenzinger created to challenge ourselves to check in every day over the month of November with an audio journal about our art. This year, I chose a theme of talking about, you know, how being a teaching artist has changed me as an artist and thoughts I have about being a teaching artist, in the hope that for those of you who are, you know, talking yourself out of it the way I did when I was first approached about it, may step a little bit forward. I mean, because as I've said in other episodes, it's a great way to create another revenue stream, so you're not entirely dependent on doing commissions or character design work or freelance comics work. As fun as that all is, it's sometimes feast or famine, so it's good to have another sort of, to use the old expression, iron in the fire. But also, it's an advocacy vocation. You're helping more people connect thoughtfully with art, which raises all boats, because even if your students don't become professional cartoonists, at least they have a much more visceral sort of contact with art and will maybe celebrate it more. And as more and more people do that, and as more and more people celebrate art, maybe it'll be a world that's more welcoming to artists, at least here in the United States. Although I imagine there's people listening elsewhere. Anyway, if you decide that you want to play along, you don't have to do it every day, and you don't even have to share it. But if you do share it, please use the Art Sound Off hashtag. That's how we can all follow along to see what everybody else is sharing about their art. By the way, I would submit, and maybe I should do a Thunder Punch Daily on this, is that doing these little micro essays like this, these little journals, is a great practice for collecting your thoughts, for putting together presentations for when you go out to become a teaching artist. Just saying, just putting that there. I'll leave it on the table and I'll walk away, and I'll be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
It's a good thing Orko got my sword back today, or Prince Adam might never have been seen again. The rock man who took my sword thought it made him a leader, but he was wrong. A sword or any other symbol doesn't make a person a good leader. What does is intelligence, respect for others, and an unselfish desire to do good. People are proud of a leader with those qualities, so if you develop them in yourself, you could become a good leader too. See you soon.